You are listening to audio recorded at the Village Church. For more information, go to villagechurchbaltimore.com.
If you are joining us for the first time today, you are coming as we've been in the middle of the series called Formed. For the summer, we're taking different opportunities to look at what are some of the ways that God works in us. And obviously through us, we talk a lot at our church about what it means to be on mission, what it means to demonstrate to others the good news of Jesus. But a conviction that we've had, and this is not a new thing, but we've got to be mature and growing, and who we are is able to then pour out to others. So it's really critical. It's not be self-focused for the sake of being self-focused, but as we grow, as we mature, as we become more and more like Jesus, we believe that God is glorified and honored. So we've just been looking at different means of that. And today we're looking at this idea of prayer. Probably one of the more basic ones. Even if you don't go to church, you know, you hear about this thing called prayer. And as I think about prayer, this is a weird random memory I had. A few years back, I was given the opportunity to speak to a bunch of pastors at this retreat. And their speaking invitation for me, what they asked me to speak on was prayer as faith to rest. So prayer as faith to rest. I gotta be real here. It's not that difficult for me to come up with ideas to talk about, but when they gave me that one, I sat on that for like a little while. I had a mental block. And I was wondering, what's going on here? Because I like rest. I like prayer. Why can't I bring the two together? This is really hard for me right now. I'm struggling. Because as much as I valued and I think even genuinely love prayer, just to be real, I don't know if I've always described it as genuinely restful. Like if for me, those principles didn't always go together. And it caused me to do a little digging, a little exploration. And I came to see, for me at least, some of it was cultural. Some of it was cultural things I brought in. This is terrible, but I can share it here because most of us are family, right? I remember early on in our church, we've been around for a little while, but early on in our church, I know we've already got a lot of people away for the summer, but this is exciting to see a good number of people in here because that's not what it was like in the beginning. We were pretty small, pretty sparse. And it was like, it felt a little empty at times. And I've got great in-laws. You know, my wife's parents are wonderful. But they also went to a big Korean church. So they would ask me every so often, so how's the church doing? I'm like, oh yeah, we got this many people coming. And they're like, do you do morning prayer? So you got to understand, in Korean churches, there's this big tradition. It's like cultural, where in Korea, but also in America, Korean churches get together to pray like 5 in the morning. I know some of y'all, morning prayer means like 7:30, 8 while you're eating breakfast. This is like pre-dawn, right? And there are stories of in Korea, like tens of thousands of like mega church, like people are lining up at like 5 o'clock prayer meeting, 5:30, 6 o'clock, like waiting at the door to come in and pray. And the way Koreans pray is you yell like the whole time. It's like you in a fight, right? Like praying and yelling and saying stuff that some of it sound like real language. Some of you are like, I don't know what they're saying, but it's like that, like basically crying and pleading and like fighting. I love it. There's so many stories of like blessed grandmas there who are praying for their kids and their kids' kids, like interceding. And it's a deep fiber of Korean church tradition that I'm really thankful for. But at the same time, there can be some interesting views of how we see it. Because there's this sense that the reason the Korean church has done so well is because we pray. And we get up early to pray. We get a lot of people to pray. And we pray hard. Especially when it's SAT season. We pray really hard. I mean, you think I'm joking, but like offerings go up, prayers go up. There's some like weird like Eastern traditions that get mixed in with gospel. I mean, that's a whole another story. But so my in-law saying, so do you guys do morning prayer? Their question was, because we didn't, you know, because people, I'd be the only one there, which is worth it. But their idea was, yeah, the reason you're not growing is because you don't do morning prayer. You're not really serious about this. So Those are some of the things that in my mind I associate with like the work of prayer. Like prayer is, you got to work. You got to do your stuff. Yo, but prayer is like, if you are fast and furious, that's like your nitrous, boom, you put it into action. Like that's what prayer does. Some of you are the holy multitudes. What is this furious and fast he speaks of? Let me taint your holiness. It's cool, right? You don't have to look it up. But for me, prayer has always been a means to cry out to God in need, in humility. It's like, and I think that's good. Like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do with our kids? All we have is the option to pray, get on our face, cry, beat the ground, yell out. And that's one of the reasons why I appreciate prayer, actually. I feel like it creates this dependent kind of spirit. But again, it don't feel like rest to me, or it didn't. Especially when it's like pre-6 a.m. It really didn't feel like rest. I mean, my prayer, when I used to have to do it on certain church staffs back in the day, I was like, I mean, not because I'm nodding in accordance with the Spirit, but I'm like falling asleep, just doing it because I had to. But my mentality is, yo, I've got all of eternity to rest. Now is the time to get to work. So let's pray, because it's the work. And maybe the way I describe it for me, and this is some of those cultural aspects, is almost like viewing it like immigrant-type survival mode. And I don't know everyone's background in here, but if you come from an immigrant family, or maybe certain socioeconomic conditions, you kind of know you don't really always have the privilege of rest when you're trying to survive. When you're new in a culture and you're trying to figure out how to make it, when you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay for stuff, how do you get through, like, I'm born in this country and I get inundated with tax stuff. I have no clue what, like, how do you do it when you don't even know the language? Like, just trying to make it through life, rest feels like something for certain people who got a lot of space in their life. But we just trying to survive. And prayer then is almost like crying out, because what choice do we have? What choice do we have? And whether you come from an immigrant family background or not, I'm going to guess some of us, you can relate that rest is desirable, but sometimes it feels like it's in conflict of needing to move forward in life, getting done what you need to do. Who got time for that? Who got time for rest when you got a life to live? And I want to be really clear here. I believe there's a lot of warrant in scriptures for this kind of survival mode prayer. That's the way I call it, right? Like, you got no other choice but to yell out to God because you're desperate. I mean, so many of the heartfelt books like the Psalms, it's these people like David, like sitting in a cave on the lamb, hiding out, just desperately crying out his need before God. And I think that's appropriate, that in survival mode, we cry out to the only one we feel who has the ability to deliver us. That's good. God uses that. I remember even just a few years ago when we had a little bit of our city in the national news, some unrest. And, you know, if you're not from Baltimore, we love the city. It doesn't mean we love everything about the city, but we love the city. And I know, like, around the country, people were seeing, like, darkness and brokenness, which is somewhat legitimate. But at least for me, the other side of that, I have not seen people in this city pray like that before. It was like pretty inspiring, even in the midst of some challenging times. People rallied to pray. Churches were gathering to pray because the idea was, what are we going to do? You know, a nice little moon bounce and a block party and painting some faces, that's all cool. But when you got like West Baltimore burning down, that doesn't feel like it's very helpful. What are we going to do other than pray to God? And it was inspiring to see that. So I think this survival style prayer is warranted. It's appropriate in scripture. But here's what I'm saying. If that's the primary fuel for our prayer, like we pray because we are in need, life is crumbling around us, we're just trying to survive, I think it's appropriate. But yo, that's also exhausting. If that's what keeps you going in prayer, like your children, you're really struggling with them. You're struggling with not having a job. You're struggling with addictions, you're struggling whatever. And that's like driving your prayer. That's real. It should be part of our prayer, but it's also exhausting. How many of you live through trauma where you're just trying to make it through the day? There's just exhaustion that comes upon you in that. And if our prayer models that, I think it's a reason why some of us can get tired, because that adrenaline, it'll keep you going for a while. but eventually you're just going to collapse. Because I don't think that's primarily what prayer is meant to do for us. What I want to suggest today, that God is, he's continually inviting us into communion with him. Communion is just a fancy, holy moly word for relationship, right? He wants to be with us. We see this in places like Galatians chapter 4. With the Apostle Paul, he writes, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. Basically, we're part of a new family. It's relational. And the Christian faith, it's relationship with one another. I think most of us get that part. But it's also a relationship with the Lord himself. It's horizontal, but God has also instituted us into a relationship with him. And for some of us, that's why you're here, right? You're all about personal relationship with God. For some of us, though, it's kind of weird. Because maybe for you, to be honest, it's much cleaner and easier if the Christian faith is just a list of to-dos and to-don'ts, because that just makes it really clean cut. Do these things and you're a good Christian. Don't do these things because everyone's going to gossip about you at church. You don't want that. And it's just very simple, but relationship, much more complex, right? Because relationships get messy. Some of you have done that in your human relationships. And even with God, when it's not so clean cut, it can make it a little bit challenging to know what the parameters of a relationship are. But I would suggest just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. It's actually really good because God doesn't just want to give you a bunch of rules. He doesn't want just a bunch of minions walking around like who do what he says to do. But he actually wants a relationship with us. And here's the thing. Prayer, then, it's God's gift to deepen our relationship with him. Prayer is a sweet gift that God's given us, not to just accomplish stuff, not to just check off a box that we're holy, but it's all, it might be all those things, but I would suggest it's really about a gift to allow us to experience relationship with God the way it's meant to be. I like to think about it this way. This has been helpful for me. That as children who have been adopted into this family, we pray to the loving Father through the power of the Holy Spirit in the authoritative name of Christ the Son. And you see it there, so I don't got to repeat it. But let me pray for us as we chop into, and that was just intro, but don't worry, it's not according to the whole message. Let me pray. Lord, help us right now. That's what we're asking. Lord, in a room like this with so many different people, I'm just depending on that power of your Spirit that can take one word from one feeble person and speak to many different people the way we need to hear to draw us closer into relation with you. So help us to do that. Lead us right now in Christ's name. Amen. So first, we pray to a loving Father. We pray to a loving Father, and just like we read here, let me read that again, though, from what Nancy, like Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching. He says, who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I think this can be confusing for some, because is he saying that daddies are evil? Some maybe, but that's not the point of this. It's saying, no, daddies, if they're doing what they're supposed to, are really good. But as good as an earthly father is, how much more good is the heavenly Father? That's the point here. And this passage is often quoted when you're talking about the power of prayer. Like when you try to motivate a group to pray, this is one of those go-tos, right? You pull this one out, let's pray, because look at what God wants to do. But I think the bigger point and the reason why we ask God in prayer, I think it's important for us to grasp that. It's because we're asking our Father. It's a relational thing. It's not just about a better way to get through life. So how do you really get what you want to get? That's not the point of this. The point of this is, do you know who are you asking? Have you really grasped who the one you're praying to is? Because he's a good daddy. He's a good father. Because the scriptures are clear that it honors God to ask him to provide for stuff. A good father, they're honored when you need them. But here's the thing. As we embrace the Father God in relationship, man, we start to come to that point where we realize the goal of prayer is so much more about having God himself than just what he gives. Like even as we pray like this, it's good. We get stuff, but man, it's like much more than that. We get God. Like the great gift is we get a relationship with the Father. And for me, just being a father myself, you know, you get a whole bunch of new sermon illustrations, but you get a glimpse into a little bit of a shade of what God must experience as a daddy. Just for you to know, I love meeting up with you guys when I get the chance to. I love like times in the schedule. I gotta admit, there's some things in the schedule I'm like, oh, meeting, But when it says someone's name, I'm like, cool, I like that. That's like, I dig that. But we set something really early on in our church culture, and I didn't do it well in the beginning, so that's why we had to set it down, where unless it was like a really important, couldn't schedule on anything, I would not schedule meetings with people during dinner time. I was pretty legalistic about it in some ways, right? Some things you have to work around, right? But in general, I tried to make it a priority to be there with my family, especially my kids, as they were growing up. Because I think the more I've been doing this, like my goals, life goals as a parent, this is going to sound so unspiritual. I mean, I guess my goal should be, I want them to grow up to be reciting the Nicene Creed in their sleep every night. I mean, that's cool too, if they want to do that. But man, when they get older, I want my kids to just kind of want to hang out with me. Like that's kind of parenting goals for me. Like when they're old and when they have an option, because right now they don't really got an option. I want to hang out with them, they got to hang out with me. But when they got a choice and some freedom in the matter, man, my heart would just love if my kids want to be with me. Like they just want to spend time together. If they've got a choice for vacationing, they'd like to do it with me. Like for me, because I'm seeing a little, and that means I don't want my own time. I mean, K-dramas, that's my time, right? But I love spending time with my kids. Because you know why? Not because they're great, which they are. Not because they do everything I want, which they don't always do. But just because they're mine. They're mine. I love being with them. And guys, I don't know if you thought about it this way, but your heavenly Father looks at you the same way. You're not a pain. I mean, you'd be a pain to someone else, but you're not a pain to this Father. He didn't decide to bring you into his family because he was looking at all the options of kids and say, oh yeah, that one's a winner. Oh, they're going to do well in life. I choose him. Oh, she's mine. No. This is one of the most inclusive aspects of God's adoption, that he doesn't go by the metrics we will use, but all he says is, I want to grow my family. I want to be a daddy to as many kids as I can. This is our Father. Having said that, we need to know who we're praying to. There's a God who loves you. He's a father. He's a daddy. I'm not naive. For some of us in this room, I've totally shut you off when I say he's like a daddy, because you're like, ah, yeah, pastor, preacher, that's not really helpful. Because I don't think I had the best model of what a daddy should be, whether it was them intentionally or not. And maybe it's being a father and growing older. You start to recognize, yo, everyone's pretty broken, because I'm broken. So it's learning to give grace and maybe forgiveness if it's appropriate, but also like being able to own honestly ways that you're disappointed. I think it's okay to do that. Maybe even be able to have conversations and lead to repentance and reconciliation. I think those are all great. But my point just simply is, for some of us, the challenge in praying to our, or even looking at our Heavenly Father, is we look at it through eyes of our earthly relationships, especially parental relationships. And to be honest, it might be an area of reclamation for you. It might be an area where maybe God is wanting to do some healing in your life. If you're like me, when I've had hard stuff, I just want to get past it. I want to compensate in different ways. But maybe one of the best ways God wants to do good work in you and through you is by getting to some of those deeper areas of hurt, longing, maybe abandonment, and saying, Lord, help me to be in a place where even this relationship that I thought was long gone, I thought this could never be repaired, but Lord, at least in my heart, help me to step in supernatural healing, but Lord, also so that I might be able to see you with clearer eyes. Because man, one of the best gifts of prayer is you get to talk to your dad. Because prayer, it's a means to be able to ask for something that you can't provide for yourself. I mean, again, that's real. It honors God that you pray that way. But don't miss the precious reality that there is a daddy God. There's a reason he describes himself in many ways, but also as Abba Father, affectionate daddy. And maybe that doesn't strike a chord for some of you because you never thought of those kind of relationships as affectionate. Can I invite you to start to think about the relationship with this daddy as an affectionate one? That there is an Abba God who wants to be with you. This Abba God, he wants to know you. He wants to hear what you're going through. He wants to tell you that he loves you. And prayer is a gift that lets you sit on his proverbial lap and receive love from your Heavenly Father. So we pray to our loving Father. It's relational. And just let me throw in there, if you need to talk through some of the things, please let us know. That can be hard and dig out a lot of stuff. I know it does for many of us, and we don't want you to walk through it alone. But if we pray to our loving Father, we also pray through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And a verse that comes to mind as I think about this is Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, where it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings." What it's saying, that there are some times when we can't even put to words the request of what's lying in our heart. And all you find yourself is like in some babble or moaning. And I know like some interpret this as like kind of a spiritual internal sense. I think that's very true, but maybe it's even external. It's encouraging for me when I look at someone, like I don't feel writing's natural for me. So when I look at my boy Paul, I get a little envious. I'm like, yo, the boy can write. Like really good run-on sentences, right? But it's like really articulate. But it's encouraging me for me to know that as a brilliant communicator like Paul, who writes some of the most eloquent passages of scripture, he seems to even know this experience of not being able to put his words to prayer. Like feeling stuck. Not being able to fully articulate what's there. And it's like that with prayer, that we groan. And in that, we pray however feeble our attempts might feel. But here's our promise, that the Holy Spirit prays with us and for us with groans that words can't even express. I mean, this is the picture of someone who's absolutely so weak that all they are doing is lying down on the ground, just, like that's all you got left. Life has got you so beat down, circumstances are so hard, you can't even put together the prayers you want to pray. And when all you can do is groan, our promise is that there is one called the Holy Spirit, and he takes over. He is praying for us. Even when we think we're really being articulate, he's still praying for us, but especially when we got nothing to say. And one of the tremendous gifts for me in just knowing larger communities of people is learning more about the disabled community, especially disabled families. And if you, I hope you're here every week, but in a couple of weeks, we have one of my best friends in ministry coming to share with us, preach. And his family has an autistic son. And I think about him and so many others, and you know, some of you know, we've been going through care for family. But man, what it's given me is eyes to recognize people who long-term care for family members, whether they're elderly or younger. That's just amazing. It's just unreal, the aspect of love. One thing about it is I've gotten to know some families who have children, especially who might not be able to fully communicate as we think through language, through verbal means especially. But man, I get astounded at parents' understanding of like utterances and groanings from their kids in some of these families. It's like astounding to me that these parents, they always seem to understand what the kid wants, even if they're not able to articulate and vocalize it. Like the rest of us would be hearing something, we're like, I don't know what to do. But the parent is like, oh, this is what they want. This is what she means. This is what he's saying. Oh, he doesn't like that. I'm like, wow. It's like supernatural, this ability to be able to take those groans and utterances and help the rest of us see, this is what they're saying. This is what they're feeling. It's powerful. And in the same way, the Spirit takes what might seem unintelligible to anyone else. He takes those things that sound like just like babbles. And he says, this is what this person is feeling deep within their soul. Lord, here is what they're asking for. And the Spirit intercedes for us. Just like that mommy will help to understand what the kid is saying, the Daddy God does the same for us through his Spirit. He takes the things that sound unintelligible and he makes a lot of sense out of them. So I like Puritan prayers, for instance. Man, there's some beautiful things like this, right? Like they basically say, I love you, God. It's like this, right? It's great. And there's a part of me that wishes all my prayers looked like that. And sometimes I try to write them out. I like to do that. I think it's a valuable practice. But there's also something to say in those prayers that you would never want published anywhere. I remember specifically, my brother got sick, and then my daughter got sick a couple years ago. And, at the beginning, I get into fix-it mode because that's what I do. I try to fix things. I try to put a happier spin on it. I try to show how God's working, and I believe he's working. But I also remember hitting a particular point where I was just, it was a bad day. Things were not going well. I remember just coming home when it was just me. Man, I remember being on the floor. I'm not going to do it right now because it would scare. We have some children in the room, right? Just like groaning, moaning, yelling. Because I was angry. I was like really mad. I was frustrated. I was like, this is not fair. It stinks. Why? And I remember just being on the ground, just like helpless. Just sounds coming out of me. No way I would ever make that my intercessory prayer in front of you guys. We would need an interpreter. But I remember reflecting back on that, feeling the sense of the Holy Spirit saying, oh, that makes sense. Daddy hears what you're saying. He understands what's going on. He loves you. He loves your family. He's with you. He's with you. And man, when we understand that the Spirit intercedes for us, guys, in our prayer, it's hope for some of us. And I know some of you are going through stuff, right? Hope when you just feel you have no words, when you're tired of trying to explain it, when you can't be eloquent, when you're mad, maybe. You're frustrated. Like our great hope is when you have no answers, the Spirit whispers, I hear you. I understand. Keep going. Keep praying. The Daddy loves you. I'm interpreting this for you. Keep praying. Keep groaning. Because we have to remember, the goal is not the substance or the content of the prayer itself. I know sometimes, especially when we pray in front of other people, we put a really high premium on how the prayer sounds. Like let's be honest. We want prayers to sound so impressive that people around us, they get kind of that shook thing. Have you ever experienced that? Like someone says a prayer so good, you're like, whoa, amen. Like we love that, don't we? Like, wow, God must have heard that prayer. You know what? God hears the prayers that make no sense to us. It's not just about the eloquence of our words. It's to be with the God that we pray to. Amen? And the Spirit does that for us. It's relational. So as we pray to the loving Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of the Son. John chapter 14, verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, and this is Jesus talking, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So depending on your theological background here, some of you, y'all ready, you're nervous, right? Because you've seen people abuse stuff like this. You're like, that's not what it really means. And you're ready to throw out all your good doctrine and I'm good. Because we're nervous about like health and wealth stuff. We don't want to turn God into like Aladdin. Like just learn how to rub his belly better and he gonna give you everything you want. You just got to learn how to ask right. Because we've seen people twist how God speaks here into some kind of magic genie. But here's my thing, amid all that, let's not lose sight of the fact that Jesus is speaking about his authority. Yeah, he's talking about how he answers prayer, but he's primarily talking about authority. He's talking about his power here. So a few years ago, when my father was in some medical challenges where we discovered he had really progressed cancer in his body, and we were just like, we had no hope. I remember going to the doctor with my mom and him. And again, you guys, some of you worked with me. You know me. I don't like to be told no. I like to make things happen. I was sitting in that waiting room in the doctor's office. And yo, they didn't send someone in for like an hour. Told my dad to sit on this thing for a long time. No one was coming in. No one's coming to help us. No one's coming to explain anything. I'm going out in the hallway and say, hey, can we get a little help here? We got to sit. People just being really rude. I love healthcare workers, by the way. I'm not projecting on you. But this office, they were really rude, right? And I remember them basically saying, yeah, there's really not much we can do at this point. Here are some steps you can take. I remember walking out of there feeling so helpless as a son. I was like, I'm useless here. What the heck? I have authority in some places. I got zero authority here. It doesn't matter how compelling my words are. I'm not influencing anyone. I remember, though, a memory talking to my brother. I was like, yo, you remember our friend that we went to school with? Because he became a fairly well-known doctor in the Philadelphia area. So I was like, hey, let's call him up. So we called him up. We're like, hey, here's what's going on with our pops. What do you think? And he said, I'm going to take care of this. He had a heavy surgery schedule because he was in high demand, literally one of the best in the nation. He moved his schedule. I remember him calling up his assistant saying, hey, block out this whole time. I need to get someone in there. And him getting my father in quicker than you could have ever done. Because why? He had authority. He had authority to make things happen that I couldn't, that really not many people could. And we need to be a reminder, when we're praying in the name of Christ, it's not just throwing out like Hail Marys, like, I'm not sure. I'm not saying it's like a quid pro quo. Like, if I pray right, we don't know how God will answer, but we can't lose sight of the fact that the one we pray to in his name has authority beyond anything we might comprehend. That when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're not just throwing out some magic incantation. There is power that we're talking about. There's supernatural power. It's the power that came through a thing called the cross, where the God-man went on there and he destroyed the barriers between a sinful, rebellious humanity and a holy, loving God. And now, where you had to do all this stuff to just even hope you could be heard by God, now he said, come to me. I'm an Abba Father. He allows us to come to God as he broke down the dividing wall. He had the authority to destroy those things that separated us from him, including the ability to talk to him. That in the name of Jesus, you don't got to be a religious leader. You don't got to be some like holy moly who got all your stuff in a row. You don't even got to be a church every single week. I'm not going to dissuade you from that. But you don't need to do all those things. Your authority is the one who has made the way. It's just different. It's just different than just giving yourself a sense of peace and trying to give yourself some calmness. We are actually praying in the name of the one who has the ability to do something that no one else could. And it's good news. It's tremendous good news. It's a significant thing to pray in the authoritative name of Christ and go to the one who has the authority to do something that you and I are utterly unable to. Here's the astounding thing. This mighty Savior, the one I just described in all might and power, like universe shaking, he knows you by name. Isn't that amazing? He calls you his friend. Are you guys sinful like me and you got some of those people, you just let their calls go straight to voicemail? Am I allowed to say that out loud? That sounds so sinful, right? But you also got those people, you don't let it go like one ring, right? Like those people in your life, I got to take this. It's that important. Jesus don't let you go to voicemail. He is taking your prayers in his name. You are not a nuisance. You are not an interruption to what's really important. And the gift of coming to prayer in the authoritative name of the Son, it's a reminder of our relationship with God. Simply put, this is like the big idea for today. Prayer is a gift to deepen relationship. It doesn't mean that it doesn't get stuff done. It doesn't mean it doesn't accomplish it. It absolutely does. But prayer is a gift to deepen relationship. So for some of us, maybe you're like me, we really like our planning. We like having strategy. We like putting things in place. We like guardrails to say, oh, we don't want to do. And I'm a big believer in planning. I think it's somewhat irresponsible not to plan. That's just me. But here's what I'm saying. If we're not intentional, life in ministry can become a lot of doing and planning. But may remember that God's continually inviting us into relationship with Him. That living for Him is not just a bunch of to-dos. It's not just a bunch of schedules, not just a bunch of plans. It's deepening relationship with God. Because here's the thing. If prayer is just about asking God for things, our theology that we affirm here at the Village says we actually don't need much time to do it. Like, scriptures actually say stuff. Why you keep babbling on and on and on? I mean, your father already heard. Like, this is not like kind of like mystical, like you got to say it like 200 times before God hears. You got to say it really loud. You got to say it with a certain emotion. I mean, scriptures seem to say, in the name of Christ, you just pray and God hears. You don't got to keep babbling on and on. So if it's just about getting stuff done while we pray, we actually don't need to pray that long. We don't. But if prayer is primarily about a relationship, that's probably going to look different. Because a relationship needs time. Relationship, you sit with someone. You don't just list off what you need and you kind of say, all right, cool. You sit with them. It's not just a punch list of things. It's an invitation to intimate communion. And here's a beautiful ramification of that. Prayer doesn't just deepen our relationship with God. It also deepens our relationship with one another. From James chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church. And they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. I preached on this, so I'm not going to do a full study here. Basically, prayer, it compels us to invite others into our lives. Prayer, for some of us, is just you and God. That's what prayer is, to give you inner peace or to petition Him. But prayer is actually a relational gift to draw us to God, but it's also meant to draw us to one another here. Just like we see here, prayer is sharing some of the hard things that you are going through in life with the rest of your community, with people that you trust who are praying for you. It's putting your life out there. And not just the Instagram, the pretty Instagram filtered version of life, right? We like that version, right? We like that version of, whoa, she got it all together. Wow, he's living best life now. It's like putting all that stuff out now that there are no filter for that. It's just bleh. But it's trusting that God hears and God sees and God knows. And the way we help one another see that is we see, we hear, and we know as well. Those things that we've set apart in our files called like guilt and shame, maybe like files called regret or failure. Prayer tells us, hey, God knows those things. And there's a reason why Jesus gave his life for you, because he loves you. He knows you. And when we pray for one another, we help to anchor this profound truth that God knows you and God loves you. One of the best ways we do that for one another is when we pray for each other. Because sometimes I don't believe God can look at me like that because I know myself. I need someone praying for me to say, no, this God absolutely is for you like that. Keep going. Keep going. You're going to hear more about it this summer. We're not doing our normal community groups, but we are having some focused times to get people together. Part of that is going to be focused on prayer. We want to be in communities where we're praying for one another. So just keep your eyes out as we announce more of what that looks like. Guys, prayer is not just centering ourselves, but it's also helping to center one another in God. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our music team to come up. And we're going to, I think it would be a little weird if we talked about prayer and we don't actually pray. So we're going to do our singing and communion. But before that, we're going to give a few minutes here just to pray. And I'm going to ask, we have some members of our community who are going to be up front here to pray for you. You guys can come up and stand in the front. And I'm going to just invite you to pray. The reason why I ask you to stand is it's uncomfortable sometimes if you want to sit down on your own. Feel free when you pray, if you want to sit down or kneel or come to the front, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to give you some space to just be wherever you are and pray. But not just pray for stuff. I mean, that's appropriate if that's what you need. But talk to God. What's on your heart? What's been hard for you? What's difficult? What's challenging? What are you angry about? Maybe you're angry at God. Maybe you're angry at someone else. Maybe you've been wounded, you're hurt. You don't even know why you're here this morning. Whatever you have, bring it to this God because he desires to be with you. And these folks up front, they're here because they want to pray with you. They've been preparing for this. So I would very much welcome you during this time. Just come up to one of them and say, and maybe you can share briefly, can you pray for me for this? And they want to pray for you. If you don't have words, just say, can you pray for me? You don't even have to describe it. They want to pray for you. We also have some oil up here. For you, some of you specifically, I believe you might need healing prayer. Maybe physical healing, but maybe healing in other forms. If you need that, just tell the person, we've got some oil here. We want to put it on your head and pray for you, just as the scriptures invite us to, trusting the Lord. So I'm just going to start to lead us. Again, whatever posture you need to take. If you want to remain standing, you can do that. You can sit, you can kneel, you can walk around, whatever you need to do. But Lord, help us right now as we seek you. Remind us, God, that it's not just about a punch list of to-dos, but we pray because we want to know you. Thank you for the love of this Abba Daddy. Thank you for the just power of this Spirit who takes these groans and things that feel messy in our mind and makes sense of it. And thank you for this Jesus whose name we pray in, who has power, and we believe in that. So we're desperate, Lord. We need you right now. Thank you for this time. Help us to sit with you, God. So I'm going to invite you. We're going to have a little bit of music playing. And then after that, we'll go into some songs in a little while. But I just want to give you some space. For some of us, this might feel weird because you haven't had this space in a long time. That's okay. That's okay. Talk to God. And if you would like, again, please come forward and just get in line with one of these folks. They're great. They would love to pray with you.